Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. Significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And for this, the topic hour, we have our Out and About feature where I go and talk to people on the street about issues that affect us all and globally. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because discussion and creativity are, I feel, two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. If you'd like more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. All the podcasts are there of past shows. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Suzanne.
Glenn.
Well, thanks so much, Suzanne and Glenn, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, we're considering... Okay. How can we unite? I think we have a bit of a technical issue there. So I'm going to swap to a different means of listening to this. Sorry, Glenn and Suzanne. And we're going to move over to here. I'm going to use... MP3s instead with the power of technology. Da, da, da. So let's try this. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Suzanne.
Glenn.
Well, thanks so much, Suzanne and Glenn, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, we're considering how can we unite? I'm making an assumption that unity in America is a good thing. Do you think so? Would you like the country to be more united?
Of course. I think that's something that's lacking.
Yep, you too.
Certainly, absolutely.
Yep, okay. So, with the country so divided right now, I'm wondering, are we all in this together to solve our problems? Is the answer working collaboratively? So, would you like the country to be more united?
Of course, I think that's something that's lacking.
Yep, you too.
Certainly, absolutely.
Yep, okay. So, with the country so divided right now, I'm wondering, are we all in this together to solve our problems? Is the answer working collaboratively? Or do you think it's more of a case of the ones who've got it right finally convincing the ones who've got it wrong?
Well, I think we could stand to be more united, and I think it starts from a very basic level, starting at home and with your own neighbors.
Interesting.
I think that we have an obligation to teach our children and the children that we're around to love each other and be more understanding of each other. And I think from there it moves on up. When you start at the bottom with the children, then they grow up believing these things and taking it out in their lives as well.
Right. What about you? Do you think it's a collaborative thing, or do you think it's a question of convincing people to think the same way?
Yeah, convincing people to think the same way is very difficult, I think. I think it has to be a collaborative effort, and everyone needs to just understand that there are different opinions and different feelings, and put the emotions aside and sit down and just talk face to face about those types of things.
Right, right. In an article for Trends and Insights for NAFSA, the Association of International Educators, Madeline F. Green states, citizenship entails an awareness of the interdependence of individuals and systems and a sense of responsibility that follows from it. Navigating the treacherous waters of our epic interdependence requires a set of guiding principles that will shape ethical and fair responses. I'm wondering whether part of why we aren't united is that we don't see our interdependence. We see ourselves as individuals coexisting, but not necessarily intertwined. Do you see that at all?
I do. I think sometimes, too, with our political beliefs, we have divided ourselves into different categories, Republican, Democratic, Green Party. I think we fight against each other instead of working collaboratively.
Right. What about you? Do you think there's a question of us not seeing how interdependent we all are, regardless of our backgrounds?
Yeah, truthfully, I'm kind of a cynic when it comes to that. I think a lot of people just worry about themselves and they don't really see how what they do or how they think affects everyone else.
Right. Okay. Mikhail Gorbachev said, peace is not unity in similarity, but unity in diversity, in the comparison and conciliation of differences. And tolerance means respecting people you don't agree with. Do you think part of the issue in America is that we've stopped giving respect to our ideological adversaries?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very hard to listen actively to somebody who is on a different side than you are. But part of that is biting your tongue and listening to what they have to say before you just start talking, thinking about what you're going to say next. It's active listening.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think people have stopped listening. They're just sort of, it seems, they're shouting at each other or just trying to impose their opinion on someone else without trying to understand.
Right. We have TV shows that's their basis, is shouting at each other instead of listening.
What do you think about respecting your political opponents?
I think that's a basis for really true understanding, is at least having respect for the people that you're talking to, whether their opinion's the same or their opinion's polar opposite of yours. I mean, it starts with respect and tolerance and understanding that they have a right to their thinking and a right to their opinion also.
Yeah. Do you have any speculations as to why that has been so degraded in America?
I think we go through our lives thinking about ourselves and not necessarily about, again, the people around us. And I mean, you see it just with common courtesies on the street, you know. People don't necessarily have a great amount of courtesy and respect for the people they pass on the street, even though we're all fellow human beings, fellow Americans, yeah, really trying to get to the same place, a good life for ourselves and our families.
Yeah. Do you think that has anything to do with the advent of the internet and people becoming more individualistic and perhaps more interested in broadcasting their own life and concerns?
I think that's partially it, but I think too that maybe there's been a small breakdown in just teaching our children to respect more.
Right.
You know, because you see the little ones doing it as well. And I think that it again comes from the parent or from the caretakers, that they need to teach that.
People unite when threatened by war and put differences aside. You know, World War II is a good example, where in Britain people were very motivated to pull together and make sacrifices to protect their way of life. I'm wondering, do you think there's a shared goal big enough that American people can unite behind to make us overlook our differences? And could that be a positive goal, or do you think it has to be fear or something negative?
I don't know. Well, you look at 9/11 and you saw all the American flags flying and people really responding to first responders and police, and you definitely saw and felt a different atmosphere at that time. And I think we just need to somehow figure out a way to keep that going and keep that respect and that love going for the people that are out there, you know, in the trenches.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think we need a massive threat to unite, or is there any chance there's other goals?
I hope not. I'm afraid, though, it's past the tipping point that we may need something, and I don't know what that is. Truthfully, I don't know if it's threats from other countries that could unite us, more threats than just, you know, direct action. But, you know, Russia's kind of crazy. Sometimes they do some weird things, and they're doing it just for their own good, for sure. But, I don't know. I'm a cynic there, too.
Right. You know, there's talk of, like, California seceding. There's actually a website, you know, that's putting forward a motion for that. And Do you think the breakup of the United States, if that really became a stronger movement, you know, that the East and West Coast really felt they wanted to break away, do you think that might wake people up, or... I don't know.
Personally, I think it's not a good idea. I think that, again, you're dividing. And once you start dividing and having different sides, there isn't that cohesiveness that you need.
Yeah. So if that became a real possibility, do you think that might shock people into thinking, oh, we need to stand together?
Quite possibly. Yeah. Quite possibly.
What do you think? No?
See, I think the opposite. I think it would divide us even further.
Right.
I think we'd say, oh, yeah, they need to, those Californians need to go away, or, you know, those Idahoans need to go away. Let's do something different. And I don't think they think about that.
Yeah.
We went to the Women's March the day after the inauguration in our hometown. And there were 10,000 people there in a fairly small town.
Yeah.
And my friend said, so did you march with women on Saturday? I said, no, I marched with 10,000 other Americans who care about their country.
Yes.
And that's what I continue to tell people, even the people who sneer at me and say, you went to the Women's March. I said, no, I marched with 10,000 other Americans. That's what
yes.
I did.
Yeah. Well, good for you. And that leads me to my final question, which is, I'm wondering if focusing on our values rather than our behaviors and beliefs might enable us to feel more united, because, you know, often people's basic values are quite similar, but how they think those should play out in the world might be quite different. But if we could get back to, you know, we all want, like you were saying, a kind of a good life for our children and to be honest and have integrity and compassion, do you think that could help people to see past their differences?
I think it could. Again, I'm very much in favor of starting right at the beginning with little ones and working up.
Yes, yeah.
That really is our only hope, I think, at this point, is starting with the little ones. So
yeah, so education.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you? Final thought, values.
You know, I don't think we all have to have the same values. I think we all have to have a basic respect for other people and understand that other people have a right to the life that they want to lead, you know, without interference from others, right? I don't need to be influenced by people trying to push their beliefs off on me, and I truthfully don't spend any time trying to push my beliefs off on anyone else.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland, and our topic discussion this week. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages. Film Festival by USA Today readers, the Cinequest Film and VR Festival 2017 occurs February 28th through March 12th in San Jose and Redwood City. Here's co-founder of Cinequest, Kathleen Powell, talking on It's a Question of Balance.
You know, Silicon Valley is such a unique place. It's where creativity and innovation come together to empower, and that's our vision with Cinequest. This is where it all happens. We want every individual that walks through the door to feel like the value that they got far exceeds what they ever put into it.
Presenting Maverick Spirit winners Jane Lynch and Jason Reitman, 129 world and U.S. premiere films, the new virtual reality experience, and fabulous celebrations. For the complete lineup and tickets, visit cinequest.org. That's cinequest.org.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere. Indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin. Right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street, and our topic discussion this week, how can we unite? Well, the next person, or people rather, that I spoke to were Mark and Lucky. So let's hear what they had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Mark. Lucky.
Thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, we're considering how can we unite? Now, I'm making an assumption that unity in America is a good thing, but, you know, do you think so? Would you like to see the country more united?
Absolutely. That's what this country is supposed to be about.
Right. Okay. What about you? Would you like more united?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So, obviously, right now, the country's pretty divided. Do you see it as we're all in this together, we need to work collaboratively, or do you think it's more a case of the ones who have it right finally convincing the ones who don't?
I think we need to work more collaboratively. We need to start sharing resources. I think in a capitalistic society, it's about acquisition of wealth, and that's why we're in the trouble we're in today. So it's about sharing resources and giving people the ability to maximize their talents while not creating a portion of the population that can't succeed.
Right. So would you see unity as being largely about equality?
Equality and the focus on everyone sharing resources. I think that's really important. So when the top 10% of your nation's wealth is owned by 1% of the population, that's not sharing resources.
No. So when you say resources, do you mean money, or are you talking about more natural resources, or both?
Both. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about living in environments that are productive as far as acquisition to water and food and living in places that people want to live in. Mm-hmm. When you travel in this country and you, especially on the coast, the places where people would desire to live are expensive.
Right,
and the places where people would not desire to live are where the low socioeconomic people are forced to live.
Right. The Elizabethan poet John Donne wrote, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent. Any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." I'm wondering whether part of why we're not united is that we don't see our interdependence. We see ourselves as individuals coexisting but not necessarily intertwined. Do you see that? Do you think we just don't think about that we are all interdependent?
I think the history of this country is that people that came to this country grouped together with their own. So either by nationality, by similar language, by their common history.
Yeah.
And so it's still an experiment. I mean, the country's not old enough compared to Europe to really evaluate if we've arrived at where we wanted to be when we initially had the idea of an America. So we're now at a point where we have to decide, are we going to separate by certain groups, or are we going to tear down those boundaries and actually really come together? When you travel in the wealthier neighborhoods, everyone looks the same.
Right.
Everyone probably has a similar background.
Yeah.
When you go to the Beach Flats area near the boardwalk, which is where the lower socioeconomic part of our society lives, completely different people.
Yeah.
And I think that's similar throughout the states, in the United States, and that's troublesome to me. That's not progress. Progress is when you can travel from one side of the country to the other and see a mixed society, no matter which part of the city, state, or country you're in.
Yeah. We made a couple of interesting points there. I think the thing about how people came over here in sort of perhaps religious or ethnic groups and stayed in those enclaves is a really interesting point, but also the socio-economic splits, which of course come from the very extreme form of capitalism that America has, where the pursuit of money is the main goal. And I mean, do you think we need to change that before, you know, we can unite? And how might that come about?
Yes, and it would come about if we stop requiring people to have money to become successful. So we have to redefine what success is.
Right.
Is
yes.
success
yeah.
a pursuit of knowledge? Is it a pursuit of social awareness and happiness? Or is it a pursuit of money? Right now, success is a pursuit of money.
Yes.
Those with the
yeah.
most. I mean, we just elected someone president who's a multi-billionaire, who, in my opinion, is not prepared to serve in the position because he has no background to prepare him to be a decision maker for the citizens of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Also, too, he's one of those people I think our new leader wants to keep us divided.
Mm.
And that has a lot to do with, you know, I guess to Mark's point is that, you know, progress is about having people being aware of, it's not about wealth, but the progress of making sure that we have a healthy country, that people have enough to eat and people have a roof over their head. And
yeah.
I think we'll stay divided like that because there's some wealthier people that want to keep it that way.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit of a fallacy, the pursuit of wealth, because I think most people don't want to be really rich. They want to have a decent life and then pursue whatever inspires them. I mean, the people who are in the caring professions, who are in the arts, they're not, you know, motivated by money. They're motivated by something else. So I think we've got this one way of living that's been elevated into the only goal, and that's problematic, I think, as you're both saying.
I think we're united because we're a country that sees money as enriching a person's life. It's not, you know, you can enrich your life in other ways too, you know, both on a spiritual plane, on a health plane. You can be wealthy in so many other ways, but, you know, we're just driven by money.
Yes, yeah. Helen Keller said the highest result of education is tolerance, and tolerance is respecting people you don't agree with. I'm wondering whether part of the reason we're so divided is we've stopped giving respect to our ideological adversaries, you know, people who don't agree with us, that we don't even respect them. Do you see that as an issue?
Absolutely. So when you go back to your neighborhoods, all of the listeners there, give yourself a tolerance check. Ask yourself, are the people that live in my neighborhood, do they have different religious beliefs than I do? Do they have different skin tones than I do? Do they have different amounts of wealth than I do? I mean, are people different or are they similar? And part of that is being tolerant. And tolerant is more than saying it's okay for people to believe differently or act differently or have different cultures. It's to help them promote that difference. So engage the difference between people as opposed to pointing out the difference as something that you need to, you know, shun and put in the closet and become what, you know, some portion of society says it is to be an American.
Right. Did you have a thought?
No, I fully agree. I think we have like this perceived notion of what like success is, and you got to become a lot more tolerant. I know that's something that I struggle with all the time, but I try really hard to be more tolerable. I mean, there's certain situations like when I'm down here just enjoying downtown on a nice day, I find myself not being tolerant, but I catch myself.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So I think you got to really try hard because it's really easy to say that you're tolerant and that you want to treat people fairly, but it's another thing to really act on it.
Yeah.
And I think we're great talkers about it, but I don't think there's not enough action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very true. I mean, just now when you were talking in that car went by with extremely loud engine, you know. And I'm like, okay, it must be tolerant. Well, so we are challenged all the time. And obviously, at some point, society draws lines that go beyond what everybody wants to tolerate on things. But generally, with ideas, I think the more we can tolerate, the better it's going to be for all of us.
When you celebrate the similarities, the tolerance becomes easier.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you really look at human beings, a scientific look at human beings and where they come from and how similar they are and how the differences are really based on where their people come from on the globe with respect to the equator and the sun and the evolution of mankind, you understand that we're really, really similar compared to other animals on the planet.
Yes.
And so when you celebrate that similarity, then the tolerance is easy.
Yes.
But when you're not knowledgeable enough, people don't really do the scientific research to study the evolution of mankind. When you do that, you have a better understanding of how similar we are.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, like also too, I think a really big thing is people have to do a better job of parenting their children to become more tolerant. Totally starts in the household. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. I see that's something that's slipping away, and that's why there's much more divide because, you know, you have people that just want to keep their kids and they want to only be with certain groups and that's it.
Yeah.
So they don't really want to go out there and understand other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm that same way, but in my mind I know that I need to do the right thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what I've done with my boys is, you know, obviously you have your own beliefs. So you say, well, this, what I try and say is, this is what I think about this. But you should decide if it's what you think about it and, you know, look at other beliefs that aren't this. You know, I mean, I don't think as a parent you need to be completely neutral, but you can put forward your own beliefs without it being brainwashing.
Right, and I totally agree with that. It's a challenge, though,
yes,
because your beliefs are what have formed you.
Yes, that's true.
And they're tried and true, and they work for you. So to let go, step back with your own family and say, okay, this is what I believe, but you go out and experience the world, and then maybe we'll come back and talk about it later.
Yes.
That is a challenge.
No.
Absolutely.
You're definitely right there. People tend to unite when there's a threat, you know, sort of in World War II, you know, that everyone was very united in Britain, for instance. Do you think there's a shared goal big enough that American people can unite behind to make us overlook our differences? And I'm hoping there might be a positive one rather than, you know, an outside threat or fear.
You know, I don't know about that, but I know that the unity will come from a grassroots movement. And it'll come when the people at the very bottom of the socioeconomic stratus are really, really suffering. And so together they will force, because the middle class is disappearing.
Right.
So
yes.
As the middle class disappears, the discrepancy between the haves and have-nots becomes greater, and the have-nots will force this movement. It won't be the haves, because they're comfortable.
Yes.
They're comfortable. They have everything they need. They live in their secured environments. And that has not been successful throughout history. It won't be successful here in the United States of America either.
I mean, I'm hoping. I think there is evidence. Hopefully it will continue that people who are in the middle are outraged about what is happening and do want a more equal society. So I just hope that will continue, because otherwise the scenario that you're talking about really leads to revolution.
But as the middle class becomes more uncomfortable, then that movement will grow.
Right.
See, when you're middle class and comfortable,
get on with your own life.
So I'm middle class and comfortable.
Yeah.
And I need to be doing more. But I'm not, because I'm middle class and comfortable.
Right.
As I become more uncomfortable, I'll be more and more engaged and more involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you see that as true too?
I do.
Yeah.
I see that as being true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your thoughts.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Right now we're featuring Out and About, Conversations on the Street, on our topic this week, How Can We Unite? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're featuring right now Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And if you have any thoughts about our topic discussion this week, how can we unite? Do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'm always interested to hear your thoughts. So that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Whether you've got some thoughts about this topic or suggestions for future topics or indeed future guests for the arts hour of the show. So do drop me a line if you so desire. And now let's hear my conversation with Mark. And, oh no, we just spoke to Mark and Lucky, didn't we? This one is with Jill and Bruce. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name is Jill.
And I'm Bruce.
Well, thanks so much, Bruce and Jill, for taking part in our Out and About feature. This week I'm considering how can we unite? Now, I'm making an assumption that unity in America would be a good thing, but do you think so? Would you like to see the country more united?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do think so. That would be a good thing. I think it's a long ways away, but it's a good thing.
Okay. So, With the country so divided as it is right now, do you see it as we're all in this together to solve our problems? Is the answer working collaboratively, or do you think it's more of a case that the ones who have it right need to convince finally the ones who don't?
I definitely think it's more the ones that have it right need to convince the ones that don't. I think for me, the number one issue would be the understanding and respect of like women for as equal citizens, and I think that really kind of is the hallmark of how an equality would reign in any society.
Right, interesting. What about you?
Well, I think that I better agree right away,
and I do.
But I do think that we're a long ways away from unity, and I think that part of the problem is that after September 11th, and you know, back then, that brought the country together. So it took a calamitous effect or, you know, event. And I think that's what's happened with this election. And you have to kind of have a disaster to bring people together. And I kind of think that's where we are.
Okay. I mean, do you think we're at a big enough disaster? I mean, that's one of my questions, you know, can we unite only like what people did in World War II or whatever, you know, or maybe 9/11, and suddenly you feel we are all Americans together. I mean, does it need something that drastic? And you feel we're at that point, but we're still so divided. People are really still trying to really push their own agendas.
Yeah, well, I think that what's going to happen is that all the promises that were made are going to have to be broken, which I think is where we're headed. Mm-hmm. And until they're broken and it's another year down the road and people find out that, you know, jobs aren't coming back to Ohio and Michigan, and you know, they're going to lose their health care, even though they maybe had a different idea of what the ACA and Obamacare were. And
I think that
once those promises are broken, I think that people are in for a rude awakening, but that's going to help bond the company or the country.
I do think that we're kind of headed in that huge event, and I think that that with Trump being in power, that is really awakening. I think that, like, the Women's March was a really kind of a good case in point, where all of a sudden it was this event that happened that became a global outcry that just moved, you know, starting in Australia, New Zealand, as the sun came up and just came around the planet, that we need to all unite. And I do think, you know, again, back to kind of my original point, that, you know, for 50% of the population to be recognized as essentially equal humans, that really, I think, is where we need to go. And good, bad, or otherwise, I think that Trump and his just negative worldview, particularly of all the things that came out prior to the election with women, I think that it is going to be kind of the catalyst that maybe start some of these conversations. So I think that it is the cataclysmic event that Trump, and I'm hoping that kind of like what Bruce had said, that, you know, a few months down the road as we see just other things come out. And but I think that's human nature. I mean, you don't run unless there's a saber-toothed tiger behind you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously, for a lot of people, we're not in a cataclysmic place right now. They finally feel happy that America might be getting back on track. So that's why I'm really asking this
level
question.
There's
a lot of people who feel really different to you. So how do we...
I think education. I think that for us, and we're, you know, West Coast educated. You know, it is a different place. You know, there's the whole Cal exit conversation that's going on top of all this too, right? But I do think that it was kind of a real indication of where our education system has failed. That people just simply didn't understand how elections work or how the Constitution works.
I think fundamentally. I mean, we don't even agree on the facts, right? So you have two separate factions out there, at least two, that we can't even agree on a basic set of facts, whether it's around climate change or whether it's around fake news.
It's understanding the facts.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a dispute of the facts right now, isn't it going on? It's not just whether we agree.
It's not just understanding the facts. It's
what are the facts?
What are the facts? Yeah.
Well, now we have alternative facts. So,
A whole alternative set of facts.
We don't really. They just sort of create them. They aren't really existing. You know. I mean, gravity is a law. You can say whatever you want about it, but you know, sky's blue, grass is green.
Yeah.
And you know.
But you're talking a lot about how we're divided, and what I'm trying to get at is how do we reach point where we can unite more. And psychotherapist Alfred Adler said there's a law that man should love his neighbor as himself. In a few hundred years, it should be as natural to mankind as breathing or the upright gait. But if he does not learn it, he must perish. And tolerance is the quality of allowing other people to say and do what they like, even if you don't agree with it or approve of it. And I'm wondering whether part of the issue why we're so divided is that we've stopped giving respect to our ideological adversaries.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? I mean, there's 1 or 2% of scientists that still don't believe in climate change or say that it's man-made and it's cyclical. And those people are entitled to their opinion, and you can't step on somebody for feeling the way that they feel.
Yes.
But I really do believe that it takes some kind of a disastrous event to actually bring people together. It's like, and I hate to keep coming back to that, but I almost feel at this point that it's so divided and it's so bitter that it's going to take something like that.
So do you mean like a sort of economic crisis or?
It'll be a war.
Well, how about a war where they start to reinstitute the draft and everybody's kids start getting sucked off to war? And then where are we? Or, you know, people losing their health care and not being able to get health care again with a pre-existing condition. And then where are we? Maybe people start to see more eye to eye when it starts to affect them on a day-to-day basis.
So you don't see a shared positive goal that could be big enough to motivate people to come together?
I don't see it as human nature, really. And for me, I mean, I don't think that everyone is due respect on their views. I mean, if your view is that for your, you know, religious fulfillment, you drag dogs behind a car,
right?
That I shouldn't respect that. I'm sorry. You know, I that's just, to me, wrong. I mean, I don't agree with Sharia law. You know, I mean, there are certain things that I think are fundamentally wrong when you look at the existence of humankind. And so I really don't think that all viewpoints, you know, deserve respect. Pedophiles,
David,
no.
Duke, Milos.
Yeah, right. Garbage, yeah, it's not.
I mean, I guess there's a bar, obviously, in developed societies, and that's how people hang together, that there is an agreement that some
and
things
that
like murder, you know.
And that's where we are. That bar is currently in flux.
Okay.
And I think that is well said, because that's exactly it. I mean, the whole, what conservatism used to be, and now what is, you know, conservatives that are supporting Donald Trump, who talked about, you know, mistreating women. And so that bar has clearly moved for them.
Yes.
Or that, you know, the only reason that Milo was dropped because it was the whole pedophilia thing that came out. Not that all of these other statements that he had made against women and transgender people and gays and, you know, African Americans, none of that was bad enough. So that bar is shifting, and that's the problem.
So obviously we live in the United States, but do you think we've got to the point where maybe we need to look at giving individual states more rights to govern themselves as separate domains, so people who are more ideologically similar can just, you know, gravitate to where they have like-minded people?
See, I would say no, because part of the problem is that, again, you know, back to the whole education. So most of the textbooks in the country are made in Texas and under kind of Texas control and Texas laws. And so that's kind of a blight on what the arm of education across the country. And so it's little things like that where if you have states that are willfully uneducated and willfully making choices against one group or another, whether it's, you know, women, abortion, religions.
I guess I was thinking more extreme, like actually secession. You know, there is a website of California seceding.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I actually feel like when you do that and you put a lot of stuff in under states control and people migrate to the states that they're more comfortable with, that are either anti-abortion or not so pro-LGBT, whatever the issue is, that lends itself then to gerrymandering. And so then you have the ability, people are moving district lines, changing votes that affect the Electoral College, which I think is past its prime anyway, and it opens up a whole other set of, you know, problems.
What about actually real secession, though? So that, say, California or the East Coast became separate countries. I mean, I'm not saying that would happen, but do you feel it's got to that point where we're so different,
well,
you know?
I think if you have this many people talking about it, it's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if there's the Cal exit and people point to Britain and say, well, look at Brexit. is it realistic or is it, you know, doable?
And what do you feel about that? I mean, do you have a real, do you really want the United States to be united, or is that not that important to you?
It is. To me, it's important, but I think that there has to be, there have to be some changes that need to be made, specifically, say, the Electoral College that you brought up.
I'm wondering, do you think focusing on values could unite us more rather than behaviors and beliefs, you know, because often people's basic values can be quite similar. It's just how they, you know, live those values might be different.
Well, I think that that's a really interesting question, because value is different to me than it is for somebody in the Mormon church, than it is for somebody who's a Baptist who...
Well, I mean, if you look at compassion or love as a value, and then how
values.
You then behave about that and what you believe, you know, that you have to act in certain ways is a different thing. But, you know, do you think that those very basic things like integrity and love could if we focus more on those and how we share them in different circumstances?
You know, that's so interesting. It was just this morning I was reading an article, and I can't remember the small region, but they talked about how the domestic violence is so ingrained with the culture, because within this culture, that is the way that women interpret their husbands to express their love to them. And that if you have your hands broken or your legs broken, then you are more loved than someone that simply gets an eye socket smashed. I'm not kidding. I wish that for your record, I could come up with it.
Right.
So back to Bruce's point, it really is how you know, determine. I mean, and there are cultures that say, well, if I love you, then as you're my child, I love you, and so I have to beat you to make you, you know, that's because the Bible says.
Right.
So it's tricky. I mean, my first thought when you had posed the question was yes, that makes more sense.
I mean, to me, the beating, that would be the behavior. That's not the...
But it's their interpretation of love. Their value of that. They are valued as a wife, and their love within the marriage is the more severe the beating, the greater the love. So it's...
So we're back to you don't see any hope, really, unless there's some kind of cataclysmic event. Is that right?
Well, no.
I think the doomsayer.
Yeah.
But,
well, no. But you know what? I do. I see all of these protests and people sort of rising up and saying, hey, these are our common, you know, goals that we want, you know, equality. And really some of the Democratic foundation values.
I think more thought, I think you were bringing this up earlier, because I'm not sure people are thinking that much. They're just reacting right now, on both sides, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people are just reacting and not allowing themselves to consider other possibilities or other options.
Right.
So hopefully when if things, you know, settle down a little bit, then maybe people can, you know, even listen to others and see what they've got to say.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, specifically thinking about, say, the people in, like, coal country that were promised jobs. I do think that a lot of those people were left behind, that shift in our economy wasn't addressed. And so I can understand that and they're kind of bewildered.
Yeah. And it's a big problem going forward, because more and more every industry is developing itself to eliminate the need for people.
Yes.
And I'm not sure why they're doing that. I mean, other than it's making 1% of people really, really rich.
Yeah.
It's like Uber that's moving towards having no drivers, whereas at the moment it's providing a really, you know, helpful resource for a lot of people, you know, and soon there won't be any of that. It'll just be the owners of Uber. So I think, you know, we have a big question as a society of where we're moving, and if nobody has a job, how is everybody going to live?
Right.
You know,
it's a weird cycle, right? I mean, you have CEOs that they're absolutely beholden to Wall Street, so they have to have a quarterly report that looks good. And it's all about the bottom line, so bringing in robotics helps the bottom line. And and basically, it's shuffling people to the sidelines, but I understand why they do it, right?
Yes.
They have to answer to their shareholders, and they have to show a profitable company. So it's kind of an ugly, vicious cycle.
Well, this is where I think, you know, we do need to, I mean, Senator Cory Booker has said, in America, we have a declaration of independence, but our history, our advancements, our global strength all point to an American declaration of interdependence. And I think that's what we don't feel in America, and I think that is perhaps part of how America's been set up, is that it's very individualistic. People are very much about pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and making something of themselves, and almost to hell with everybody else in a way, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that may be one way that we can unite, if we just see the necessity of interdependence.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting. It makes me think of, so Alexa, you know, the Amazon, and it's funny that you're not required to say please or thank you to ask Alexa something. So you just say, Alexa, convert, you know, 2 tablespoons to 2 ounces.
Oh.
And she just does it.
Huh.
But there's no Alexa, would you please, or thank you.
And no basic etiquette.
No basic, and things that are, you know, becoming ubiquitous and, you know, so much a part of our culture. And I think it's that. There's no, it's just about you. There's no interaction or interdependence of how that person feels and how you may want them to treat you. It's just, Alexa, do this, not please or thank you. And, you know, now there's like kids that are being brought up with this, like Alexa, read me a bedtime story. Siri, without thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts.
You.
I really appreciate it.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy your day.
All right.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and thank you very much to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. And the purpose of the topic discussion hour of Out and About is to try and ask questions that make us think. So I hope that might have been your experience listening, whether you agreed or disagreed with the people who were talking tonight, that it may have maybe sparked off some thoughts in your own mind on this issue of how do we unite, if indeed you think we should try and be united in this United States of ours. Can we respect each other? And how do we achieve this? Not an easy answer, I think, to this question, but one that I feel is really worth asking, because I think, you know, the level of division that we've got at the moment is not really viable for the country to prosper. And so I do hope that it's something that we'll all take to heart and maybe think about in small ways, how we can be more united, how we can find ways to reach out and respect people, reach out to and respect people who have views that are different to our own. Just to remind you, you can visit the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you will join me again next time.